Well, I want to start out this morning by talking about tonight. Recently, well, about a month ago, a very important religious survey was released as far as the results of it were released. And in it, there were a number of very relevant results that for us Christians, we need to know. Because we're trying to stress how we need to, you know, engage our society and our culture and talk with people. And one of the things we have to know is what their beliefs are and where they stand and why they believe what they believe. And tonight we're going to look at one of those categories in detail that was somewhat surprising. And I hope you can come back to hear that. One of the results that was found in that survey is what we're going to talk about this morning. And that is simply this, that even though our society is becoming more and more secular, more and more worldly, and you would certainly have to have your head stuck in the sand not to have seen that, or not to see it, yet our country, at least according to people's views of themselves, are becoming much more, our country is becoming much more spiritual. Our country is becoming more and more spiritual according to the people that live in our country. And that's what I want to address this morning. Because you hear that word spiritual so often. Now, you don't hear the word religious very much, but you hear the word spiritual. And people are saying that they are living spiritual lives. Or you'll hear that on TV or the radio about how spiritual so-and-so is, or about how spiritual some particular worship service was. And what we want to look at is, are they using the term like the Bible uses it? And that's what we need to know. What does the Bible say spiritual actually means? What does the Bible say spiritual means? Well, we know from the Bible that there's only two kingdoms in the world. There are only two spiritual realms. There's either the kingdom of God, or there's the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. There are no others. One is either in the kingdom of light, or they are in the kingdom of darkness. They're either in the spiritual realm of light, or they're in the spiritual realm of darkness. They're either following God or following Satan. We're either walking in the light of God's Word, or we're walking in the darkness of the world. And one of the conclusions we will see today is that those outside Christ cannot be spiritual. It's impossible. Someone cannot be a spiritual person who's outside Christ. Regardless of what the world says, or they say, or any church says, the Bible is abundantly clear. To be spiritual, someone must be in the body of Christ. And that, of course, eliminates the vast majority of people in the world who claim to be spiritual. And so it's to that, what it means to be spiritual, that we must turn our attention this morning. Spirituality is described in the Bible. But the God of this world has blinded people to what being spiritual really is. We know what the fruits of the Spirit are. When David studied Galatians chapter 5, we went over those fruits of the Spirit, you know, like gentleness and self-control and kindness and those things. We went over those, and we know what the fruit of the Spirit is. But that doesn't entirely define what being spiritual really is. But the very next chapter in Galatians does. Galatians chapter 6. The first 10 verses of that chapter will form our text this morning as we look at what the spiritual person is like. What they think, what they say, what they do, and what they don't do. And it's in those verses that we will see what it truly means to be spiritual.
So our text this morning, Galatians chapter 6, and I hope you have your Bibles. We're going to be moving through those 10 verses rather quickly. But our objective is to see the various aspects or attributes or qualities or characteristics of the spiritual man. The spiritual man, what it means to be spiritually minded. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 reveals the very first quality. Paul says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." That's the indicator that what he's going to be talking about describes the one who is spiritual. Here's what he's like. Number one, the spiritual man seeks to restore a fallen brother. If a brother is overtaken by any type of trespass, by any type of sin, then the spiritual brother, the spiritual disciple, does what? Tries to pick him up, tries to restore him. Why? Because he's too concerned to just stand by and do nothing. So if we really want to be spiritual and we know Brother Smith has fallen away from the faith, then we can't claim to be spiritual unless we try our best to restore him. Letting it go and not saying anything to him shows that we're not spiritual, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We must show concern for that brother who has been overtaken in a trespass. This is how God is. Isn't that what 2 Peter 3:9 tells us? God is so concerned about us that he doesn't want any to be lost, but he wants them all to repent. That's the spiritual person. He doesn't want any brother or sister to be lost. He wants them all to repent. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're to be like. And how we do it is critical. It says we're to do it in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of kindness, in a spirit of meekness, in a spirit of being patient. You know, these are some of the people, these are brethren that may have fallen into some of the works of the flesh that he just mentions in Galatians chapter 5. Maybe they'd fallen into fornication, or maybe they'd fallen into idolatry, or whatever. Maybe they'd fallen into some of those works of the flesh. Those trespasses had overtaken them. So the spiritual man knows, because he's so concerned, that he must try and restore that Christian. He must do it. The spiritual man, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What does the spiritual man do? The spiritual man gladly helps others bear their burdens. And it's continuous. He doesn't just do it haphazardly, but he does it continually. We may have brothers who are distressed, they're in sorrow, they need some type of help, and what do? We do everything we can to help them carry their burdens. We don't look the other way. We help. Back in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus was giving his famous Sermon on the Mount, notice what he says in Matthew 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verse 12. He says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Don't you want someone, when you need them to help you carry your burdens, don't you want them to do that? Well, if so, then the spiritual man knows that he needs to help others during their times of difficulty. And guess what? Every brother or sister has times of difficulty. Sometime in their lives, they will have times of distress and suffering and sorrow, and they will need someone to help. So the spiritual man does that. So let's don't claim to be spiritual unless we're willing to help others bear their burdens. When we do that, When we love others, we love ourselves, we fulfill the royal law. James chapter 2, verse 8. We fill it full. When we look out for others, when we do unto others as we want them to do unto us, we fill full the kingly law. That's what the spiritual disciple does. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. The spiritual man does not think he's more important or superior to others. He's not boastful. He's not conceited. He doesn't talk about how holy and pious and spiritual he is. The spiritual man, you'll never hear from his lips that he's spiritual. His life will be so clear and obvious that everyone will know that he's living a spiritual life. There'll be no need for him to boast that he's being spiritual. There's no pride or arrogance in the spiritual disciple. He understands what it means to be spiritual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the same writer, Paul says this in verse 12. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This was written to Christians. This was right after he gives those Old Testament examples about how God's people fell. He says, therefore, this is a warning to you. Don't think so highly of yourself. Don't be so conceited and boastful that you don't think you can fall. And I know you know people who've fallen that you didn't think would ever fall. You thought they would remain faithful all of their lives, and yet what happened? They fell. And maybe they fell because they didn't take heed and didn't listen to this warning. The spiritual man takes heed to the warning and knows that he can fall. So he doesn't boast. He's not arrogant. He's not conceited. He's not putting on that holy outer garment so that people think he's holy. That's not how the spiritual man lives. In Romans chapter 12, Paul said something very similar in verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Soberly. False pride never finds residence in the heart of a spiritually minded person. The spiritually minded never thinks they are superior to other people. Being spiritual, verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Being spiritual means examining your own service to God and evaluating your contribution to the kingdom of God. This is a real look. This is an honest look. The spiritually minded man will go about doing God's will to the best of his ability without a lot of fanfare. The spiritually minded person is not going to go around talking about all the good works he did this week. He's not going to go around with a sign saying, look how wonderful I am. Look at all the service I perform. Look at all the people I visit. Look at all the tracts I gave out. Look at all this. Look at all that. He's not going to do that. He's going to look at himself. He's going to do what's right regardless if anybody sees it. He's not going to be concerned about that. He's going to be concerned that he's doing what he needs to do. He knows he can't go to heaven on the shirt tail of someone else. He knows 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that every individual will stand before the judgment seat of God and receive those things done in the body, whether good or bad. So he knows he's going to be responsible for what he does. That's the spiritually minded person. He knows he can't retire from Christianity.
and that there's no way anyone ever reaches some sort of plateau where they can't be more spiritual. Well, I'm the most spiritual I can be. Well, no, you're not. That just shows you're not spiritual. If you make that claim, we all can be more spiritual. We never get through. It's like, I remember, this was years ago, a guy that worked on a farm, and he said, well, if I finally get this fence done, then I'll be through. And a wiser person says, if you live on a farm, you never get through. Well, that's the way it is with our lives. We never get through. It's always something that we want to strive for, to be more and more spiritual, but how the Bible defines it, not how the world defines it. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. The spiritually minded man does not expect others to carry out his duties. I can't worship for you, you can't worship for me. I don't give for you, you don't give for me. I don't partake of the Lord's Supper for you, you don't take it for me. The Bible says we are a kingdom of priests. We're a royal priesthood, Peter tells us. Which means that each of us are individually responsible for being priests, for serving. I can't go over to Dean and give him money to do my work. That's what this verse tells me. I don't hire someone to do my work. That's not why you pay me. You don't pay me to do your work. I'm not doing your work. Each of us has work that we must do. Each of us has service we're to do. And this verse tells us the spiritual person, being spiritual means you realize that you can't pawn your work off on someone else. You know, that's the denominational concept of a pastor. They pay the pastor to do the work for them. That's the pastor system. And they expect him to do their work for them. Of course, other religions do the same thing with different types of system. The Bible says we can't do that. I can't expect others to do it. I accept responsibility for my personal obligations. And I don't come up with excuses for why I can't do things. I can't do this or I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't do this. I don't look for excuses. I find ways to do what's right. That's what verse 5 tells me. That's what being spiritual means. You find ways to do what's right. And you don't expect others to do the work for you. Being spiritual, verse 6, let him who's taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Being spiritual means you have a willingness to support spiritual teachers. Like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, the worldly brother, the carnal brother resents paying the preacher or paying an elder. They resent that. Where the Bible says it should be just the opposite. The spiritually minded person does what? Shares in all good things with him who teaches. And they're glad about it. They're happy to do it. That's what he says. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Luke chapter 10, verse 7. The spiritual man, again, realizes that the elder who is paid or the preacher who's paid or whoever is paid is not paid to do their work. But they're paid to teach or they're paid to preach. That's what they're paid to do. The preacher's not supposed to do the work of an elder or a deacon or a member or anything else. Unfortunately, that's what most of the religious world thinks. Because of that pastor system that's been around for so many years, that whole unscriptural idea has been around and it just keeps being propagated generation after generation after generation.
But all of us have our own obligations. The spiritual man, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The spiritual man knows the concept of sowing and reaping. With his living, with his giving, with everything else. We're to render to each one according to our deeds. Elijah knew about this. King Ahab knew about it. We read about people in the Old Testament. We read about people in the New Testament. They reaped what they sowed. They reaped what they sowed. Hosea chapter 8, I think it's verse 7, says, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. What does that have to do with what I'm talking about? Well, for if I live the spiritual life for a few years, then I'll reap an eternal reward. But if I live a worldly life, a secular life for a few years, then I'll reap eternal hell. That's reaping and sowing. That's sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. The spiritual person understands that principle and knows how to live by it. The Bible is very clear about it. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Being spiritual means not quitting, not giving up in our Christian service. The spiritual man means he doesn't quit attending services. He doesn't quit praying. He doesn't quit giving. He doesn't quit studying. He doesn't quit visiting. He doesn't quit trying to teach others. He doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. He keeps on. I'm tired. You still do it. I don't feel well. You still do it. You don't quit. You don't give up. Regardless of what the circumstances are, you keep up doing what's right. He realizes he will receive his reward if he continues faithful in his work. Paul ends up 1 Corinthians 15 by talking about not giving up. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. See, there's never a time when that's supposed to stop. Sure, there are times in your lives where you will be able to do more than at others, but you never stop. You always continue. That's what the spiritual person knows. Often, though, the work looks too hard. And, of course, in our society, hard work is kind of out of style. Thomas Edison once said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And that's true in the church as well. Yeah, it looks like hard work, but it's good work. Partially done, unfinished work is not acceptable before God. Don't give up. Let's don't be defeated. I mentioned Elijah. Elijah at one time thought he was defeated, right? So what did he do? Went and hid in a cave. Went and hid in a cave. And what did he tell God? It's just me, I'm all alone, there's no one else out there. And God said, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Well, Elijah needed to hear that. He needed to hear he wasn't alone. And that's one of the most important things about being at church services, to realize you're not alone. You know, our society, like I mentioned, is becoming more and more worldly and secular, which means it's becoming more and more anti-Christian. So we need to know about those 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. It's very important. And the very last one is in verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The Christian who's living according to the Spirit does what? Does good to all men, whether they're saved or not. If there's an opportunity, he or she does good whenever the opportunity presents itself. This, of course, is the religion of the Good Samaritan. There was an opportunity. Two so-called religious people
walked right by, saw the opportunity, turned away. But the Good Samaritan said, there's an opportunity for me to do good. This guy needs help, so I'm going to help him. See, he was showing what it really means to be spiritual. He was walking after the Spirit. He was walking after the Spirit. Walking after God's Word and following God's Word. This is what being spiritual is all about. This is what the Bible says the spiritual person does, thinks, and says. The spiritual person is baptized into Christ by the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians. He experiences that new spiritual birth, John chapter 3. And he remains walking in the Spirit. When he does transgress, what happens? He repents and asks God for forgiveness. That's what the spiritual-minded person does. That's what being spiritual is about. Now, what the world says, as is usual, the world is wrong. Today, maybe it's your day to decide to put Christ on in baptism. Or maybe it's time you ask for forgiveness and start over. The invitation is yours. This morning, if you need to come, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.